verse 3 and 4. And actually, I think this whole series is going to go well, particularly today with what the pastor was preaching on out of 2 Corinthians. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others more than yourselves or above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others." So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for your goodness to us. We thank you for the message that we've already heard this morning and how that the Apostle Paul was putting others before himself and willing to accept personal criticism and sacrifice to do the things that pleases you rather than the things that please other men. So we pray you'd help us to be that type of people. Help us to be the ones who are seeking your will and desiring to do it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so in this series of entitled The Heart of a Servant, the first characteristic that we're going to look at is that of humility, which is kind of foundational for the life of a Christian, but also for the life of somebody who is going to be serving the Lord, which we should all be doing. We should all be involved in serving the Lord. So I want to go ahead and start with I can tell you the way I've broken this down is that first of all, we're going to look at humility before God, and then we're going to look at humility before other people, right? And then how does that, then we're going to look at some contrasts of humility versus pride and the effect that that has on our lives. And we can probably all think of people in the scriptures who failed to be humble, and because of that, they had great calamity come on their lives. And we certainly don't want that. So the first one we'll look at, though, is humility before God. So I just have a few verses here that I'm going to read. In James 4:10, this is just to emphasize that God actually commands us to be humble before him. In James 4:10, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Not only do we see the command to be humbled, but we see that God will, once we do that, exalt us in due time, which is what it says in 1 Peter as well. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time." In Proverbs 22, verse 4, "Humility is the fear of the Lord, and the wages are riches and honor and life." So we definitely gain when we're willing to humble ourselves before the Lord. Psalm 25, verse 9, it says, "And he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them in his way." So humility is just a foundational characteristic in our lives. And in the life of a Christian, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to be a humble person. As the pastor mentioned this morning with Paul, not willing to let the attacks that he had against the church stop him, but he just kept doing what the Lord would have him to do, because we are going to have people come against us from time to time. Okay, so in preparing for this, I got to thinking maybe we should be looking at some case studies in the Bible of people who failed to be humble before the Lord, and the result that they saw. And you can probably all think of people in Scripture that happened to. The one that came to my mind, and I was going to talk about a little bit, and if anybody else has one that they think would be a good example, that'd be great too. But I was thinking about King Ahab. This is recorded in First Kings and Second Chronicles, how King Ahab had made an alliance with Jehoshaphat, which Jehoshaphat was more of a good king. Ahab definitely not a good king. And King Ahab, though Jehoshaphat, when they came together they were going to have war against Ramoth-Gilead. And when they did that, Jehoshaphat said to King Ahab, have you sought counsel from the Lord as to whether or not he would have us go and attack and whether or not we'll be successful. And Ahab said, well, I have 400 prophets over here, but they really weren't prophets of the Lord. They were prophets who would just give Ahab whatever answer he wanted. And when they did that, he got, of course, the answer that he wanted. Yeah, go on up there, everything's going to be fine. But Jehoshaphat wasn't satisfied with that. He says, is there not even one prophet of the Lord, and specifically it's the Lord Jehovah that he was looking at in that scripture. Says it, but Jehoshaphat said, and this is in 2 Chronicles 18, is there not still a prophet of the Lord, Jehovah, that we may inquire of him? And this was Ahab's response. It's just stunning to me that the king of Israel would respond this way. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, is there still one man, is there still not one man to whom we may inquire of the Lord? Oh, I'm sorry, Jehoshaphat. Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man of whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. It goes in, Jehoshaphat says, let the king not say such things. So Jehoshaphat's response was good, but Ahab basically said, you know, yeah, I do have a way of understanding what God's will is for my life, but every time I go there, I don't get the answer I want. And I think sometimes we do that with Scripture too. And really, when we're talking about humility in our lives, we're just really talking about, are we going to choose what we want, or are we going to choose what God wants, right? And I think if you ever read this, I forget which book it is, by C.S. Lewis, but he had a quote that said, "Humility is not seeking thinking less of yourself, but humility is thinking of yourself less." So we can accomplish anything that God wants us to accomplish, whatever it is, but we have to be willing to seek His will during it, and not our own will. And of course, Ahab wasn't doing that in this situation. So the first key point is that we really need to be seeking God's will for our lives. And of course, we get all of his will to us through the Scriptures. But we can't go to the Scriptures and say, well, I like this part, but I don't like this part. So I'm going to accept this in my life and say, yeah, that's good for me, but this other part that I don't really like, I'm just going to set that aside and just not dwell on that too much. It's pretty easy to do that, but that's not what God would have for us. Okay, so. All right, so the next point is that humility toward others is what we need to be focused on. How that we can make sure that we're treating other people the way we should be treating them and having the right attitudes toward them the way we should be having toward them as well. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, and I've already read this once, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So I wonder how many times we're focused on our own interest, the things that we want, and not focused on what the needs of the people around us. I know I find myself doing that frequently. I was, of course, yesterday was a busy day for a lot of people. All the July 4th celebration, we had family over to our house, and every time people come over to our house, you know, my wife's got a long list of to-dos for me to do because everything's got to be just right, you know, before people start walking in the door. And I have to make a decision. Do I want to be a servant in my own home, or do I want to just take the holiday and check out, right? Well, I can't do that. So we need to be focused on the needs and the desires of the people around us if we're going to be humble. Yeah. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. I don't know if you've ever had to be involved with somebody who was, maybe you've worked with somebody or somebody in your family or something who's very conceited, right? They always had the right opinion, and they never were willing to listen to anybody else's opinion. And I know I've been around a few people like that in my life. So, and Colossians 3:12 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So those are the traits that we should be demonstrating in our own lives as well. So, okay. So when it comes to humility, there are definite advantages to being humble. Now, the world would see humility or things like meekness as a weakness, but it's not that way at all. The more humble we are, it just is demonstrating the strength of the Lord in our lives. So, but when we're unwilling to be humbled before the Lord and then humbled before other Christians or even our family members or the people we work with, when we're unwilling to do that, then we are really bringing negative consequences into our own lives. So we see the contrast of humility and pride in our own lives. Because really, when it comes down to it, pride is just wanting what I want, right? And humility is setting aside what I want and seeking the desires and the needs of other people. In Proverbs 18:12, it says, before a downfall, the heart is haughty or prideful, but humility comes before honor. So God will bring honor to people who are humble. Proverbs 29:23 says, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gains honor. For those who exalt themselves, and this is Matthew 23, the words of our Savior, our Lord, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And you might think, well, I don't really need to be exalted. I don't even like the limelight. I don't want to be exalted. But God will in life lift you up and give you advantages that he won't give to the prideful. As we saw with Ahab, it wasn't too much longer before Ahab went out into battle against Ramoth-Gilead. And when he did, somebody just arbitrarily shot an arrow and it hit him in a place where he had to die later on that day. So that arrogance, not willing to want to have God's will in his life, caused him his life that day. So I can't imagine where his head was at. Of course, he wasn't a godly man at all. But to say, yeah, I hate the prophet because he never tells me anything good. It'd be like saying for us to say, yeah, I don't like the Word of God. I don't want to read it because I might find out things that I don't like about myself, right? That's basically what it is. So, okay. Okay. I think that many times when I was working still, I remember I used to read a lot of books on leadership and that type of thing. But I remember many of them had to do with servant leadership. You probably heard the upside down pyramid and all of that. It's probably pretty common stuff in leadership. I don't know if it's as much today. It seemed like it was pretty popular 10, 15 years ago, but it kind of waned off a little bit. But the idea that the person at the top of the pyramid should be the one serving everybody below him, right? Kind of an inversion there of leadership to where the leader is now the servant. And that's a good model. I mean, that's kind of the model we see when Christ girded himself and went and washed the feet of his disciples. Right? He was willing to show and demonstrate that, you know, you have to be a servant in order to be a leader. Whoever is great among you, let him be your servant, were his words. So, but I think in leadership, and I think you can get too far into the weeds and all of that, and, you know, Christ doesn't necessarily call us to be a great leader, although he may put us in that position. But he does call us to be a servant, and he does call us to be humble. Humble before him and humble before other people. So I think there are some things that, practically speaking, that can help us in that. I think the first one that comes to my mind is to practice listening, being a good listener. When you're dealing with somebody and they're speaking to you, are you listening to them, or are you just waiting for your next opportunity to speak? I know I'm guilty of that from time to time. I have to catch myself. And also learning to share the credit. Some people are very good at that. Some people are very good at when they're giving praise upon themselves, they quickly give it right back out to other people who have helped them get to that place. And that's the way we should be doing it. Of course, God is the one ultimately that gives us the honor that we should be sharing with other people around us. And then being approachable in a way where people can come to us and they feel free to come to us and ask us for help, because they know we're willing to do that. We're willing to set aside our own needs and then come and serve them when the time is right. Okay. I think some things also that can help us when it comes to demonstrating humbleness or humility before other people is being willing to apologize when we've done wrong. I know I've had to apologize many times in my life, and I know that when we do apologize to other people, if we come there with sincerity, not, oh, I'm sorry, you know, no, not that, but really come there with sincerity, saying, yes, I was wrong. This is probably how I should have reacted. I probably shouldn't have handled it that way. I remember one time when I had a customer who I did not speak to properly. He was really giving me a hard time, and I kind of gave it back, and I shouldn't have done that. But I called him back a little bit later, and I said, look, nobody taught me to do that. I was wrong. I shouldn't have behaved that way. I'm sorry. And he accepted my apology, and we had a great relationship after that. And it just shows you that if you're willing to admit you're wrong and go to somebody with humility and just lay yourself out there, then God can use that in a good way. So, all right. And then also seeking to just understand what else somebody else might be going through. I think if you're doing that, trying to figure out why are they coming with this point of view, it may be a good reason, maybe not a good reason, but a reason that's in their mind of why they're doing that. Right? Seek first to understand, not to respond. And then practice gratitude. Just be thankful for the relationships that you have, and do what you can to nurture those and foster those and help those along, because the person you're dealing with may not be practicing humility that day, right? But somebody needs to if that relationship's going to continue to grow. Well, here's some contrasts of humility versus pride and the effect that it has on our lives. So, when you have conflict with someone, conflict depends on, you know, if I'm going to be in conflict with somebody, it's because I have to be right, right? But rather than that, maybe I should seek resolution and seek the truth, rather than seeking my own need to be the one who's right. And then in success, seeking recognition and credit rather than celebrating the team and what God has done in my life too. Very little is accomplished without a team of people. You know, most things that are accomplished are because other people. I remember when I was working and people would criticize the price. This happens probably no matter what business you're in, right? People would criticize the price. And when that happened, I would also remind them, you know, there's people back in the warehouse that pulled these products. They have to be paid for. And there's people who, you know, took the phone call. They had to be paid for. All these things come into the price, right? So, and I do even remember talking to a customer and saying, do you think that that person back in the warehouse needs a vacation once in a while? Well, yeah, sure, everybody needs a vacation. Well, who do you think pays for that? Well, you do. You pay for that, right? So I do remember that if you'll just take the time to understand, I think that helps. So seeking recognition is what pride would do, but celebrating the team and what God has done is what a humility, a humble heart would do. Criticism, and most people I don't think respond well to criticism. I know I don't. I have to step back. When I'm being criticized, if I'm of the right mind, I'll step back while I'm being criticized and stop and say, okay, this is coming now. I gotta brace myself for it, and I need to be ready, right? And when I'm being criticized, I have to remember, is this going to make me defensive and angry? Because that'd be my natural response. Or is it going to make me use it as an opportunity to grow personally, grow the relationship between me and this other person? Because most people who are offering criticism are doing it because they care. On some level, they probably care, and they want to see things better, whether it's in me or in you or in some situation or the organization or whatever. If they're criticizing, it's probably because they want to see things better. And that's just an important thing, I think, to remember. And then just remembering how humility affects me personally, it will give me an opportunity to be more like Christ, right? Because he was meek, which is just really a choice to be humble. I believe meekness is really just making the choice to being humble, setting aside your own needs of your own accord and being willing to be humble before other people. So, okay. Does anybody have any thoughts of anybody in the scriptures who they can remember of perhaps not being as humble as they should? And yes, Bob.
I think Herod, man, the same Herod that killed James, is a great example of it's best not to go out and buy a silver suit.
Yes.
And it went downhill, people purchasing silver suits after that event. And Caesarea Maritima, where he walked out, the sun hit him, and the people of Sidon and Tyre said, the voice of a god.
Yes.
And he thought, he liked that.
Yeah.
He liked that.
He did.
Except for the next 5 days. He
yes, as he was eating up with worms, right? Yeah. 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 Yes.
Nebuchadnezzar,
yes. He was on my list as well. Yeah. So many examples in the scriptures of people who didn't do the right thing. But I thought today, while Pastor was doing his message, think about the Apostle Paul and how much humility he demonstrated and his willingness to serve other people. He's a tremendous man. He's a tremendously godly man. So you have Nebuchadnezzar, yeah. Yes.
I'm always Greg. Intrigued by Balaam. He was so not humble himself. So prideful, he didn't even know he was talking to an animal.
Yeah.
That was smarter than he was.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So the scripture is very clear that pride comes before destruction. I mean, destruction means destroyed, right? I mean, it's pretty clear. But honor comes before humility, or is followed by humility. And God ensures that that's the case. So, okay. Well, we're a couple minutes early. That's okay. So if anybody else has anything to add, if not, I'll go ahead and pray and we'll close. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We just pray that you would help us to be a people who are willing to set our own agendas aside and be willing to seek the needs of other people, be willing to serve however you would have us to do that in this church, in our communities, in our families. Help us to be willing to be servants for you, as the scriptures tell us that we do all things to honor you. Help us to be that type of people. In Jesus' name, amen.